Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Sent ahead for Lehkonen. He's got Landeskog and McKinnon. They get it to McKinnon. He shot. He scores. Nathan McKinnon opens the scoring for Colorado.
McKinnon driving wide, kicks it to Rampton. Rampton maneuvers McCarr down low. McKinnon. He scores.
Faceoff win comes to McKinnon. Then
team shot. Scores. The tip-off home.
Shuskin playing without a stick. His leg shot blocked in front. Turning shoot. He scored! It's Tarasenko. His first of the series.
Colorado is in need of a change after that icing. They're able to get one.
It's David Jim. Setter scores! Robert Thomas! Halfway through the third.
Here's Falk. His shot. Aaron Johnson again. McCarr. Torchenko. Knocked with the score! From down 3-0, the Blues have tied it.
McKinnon. Two in the game, and he's flying into the zone.
Nathan McKinnon, the drive, and he scores!
That was special. Below the goal line is Tarasenko. They work it to Perron. Now Buchnevich from the dot. Tarasenko's in. Kepka, they score! Robert Thomas in the final minute, and he's tied again.
Here's Bozak.
Lines and shoots. He scores! Tyler Bozak in overtime has forced game six of the series.
What the heck happened? What was that?
It was pure and simple disappointment.
Disappointment doesn't begin to explain or define how I feel after that. 3-0. We figured that St. Louis emptied the tank in game four. And all sure enough, there the Avalanche are up 3-0. How do you not put this team away? A team that was itching to be put away.
That I can't explain. I mean, I can't explain it. I think any person who's been an amateur athlete can understand what happens when you let the other guy back into the... You ever been competing? Like, I'll give you one. Like, you're a much better racquetball player or handball player. And you're whipping the backside of one of your buddies, right? And all of a sudden, you're like, this is, like, too easy. This guy can't play. Blah, blah, blah. And you kind of take it easy. And all of a sudden, he gets a little mo. He makes a couple of shots. And then you're like, uh-oh, let me push back. You go to push back, and that guy has gained confidence. Hey, listen, when they came back after St. Louis tied it up 3-3 and McKinnon put it in the back of the net and made the hat trick.
That was next level. That was next level right. Stuff, man. That was unbelievable.
That was wizardry.
Yeah.
But... Like, I thought, all right, you know, that's how you answer. That's because, let's face it, it was maybe, Mike, the most dominant period. The first period may be the most dominant period of hockey I've ever watched. I mean, it was varsity versus JV. It wasn't even JV, it was C team. And to allow them to come back in the game, I saw one of D-Max tweets was just like, well, this is over. You know, after they went up 3-0.
Jinxie, no!
And, I can't argue. Like, it should have been over.
It felt over.
It did feel over. Boy, you want to talk about... We were just talking yesterday about the up-yoursiness performance of Cadre, right? And is that the biggest up-yoursiness performance? As a matter of fact, I did a survey, Mike. I did it like I just thought about
scientific
this.
Or unscientific.
Well, it depends on you know, in my world, scientific, because it was a Twitter survey. So that's got to be pretty, you know, that's got to be pretty scientific. Here you go. Was Cadre's game four performance the most up yoursiness performance in Denver sports history? 81% of the people said yes.
I'd like to know what the 19% thought was.
Yeah.
Bigger than that.
That is correct. But that performance right there was, I mean, that's akin to losing to Jacksonville when you're the number one seed overall.
You would know.
That was pathetic. Awful.
So is it solely on the Avalanche for gagginess away, or do you give credit, as I've been talking about St. Louis for weeks now, that, hey, this is a team that you got to respect.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the championship pedigree. So was that on display last night? Was it as much that or more that? Because that's what they're saying in St. Louis. You know that. It's like, hey, heart of a champion. These guys have pride. These guys won't go quietly. They showed they sacked up, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying there. Here we're saying the Avs choked it away. So what is it? If you're just no bias, you're just impartial looking at it, what is it? You got to choose one or the other.
Well, I would choose the grittiness of St. Louis. The toughness, the mental tough. I mean, Mike, that takes, you know, the series is over at 3-1.
Yeah.
That takes a level of intestinal fortitude. And then to be down, you're down 3-1 in an elimination game, down 3-0.
On the road.
Every time, you know, I mean, that's a gutty performance. As much as I'd like to say, like, if I'm playing for the Avs, like I played for the Broncos, we choked against Jacksonville. We had a bad game plan. We executed it poorly. We got away from what we did well. Like, that to me, and I think as an athlete, you have to have this confidence. That to me was, they didn't beat us, we beat ourselves. And you have to look at it that way as an athlete. Like, I always felt like as a player, when I was pseudo healthy, if I lost a 1-on-1 matchup, that was because of a mistake I made, not because you're better than me. That's the way that works. But at the same time, I will always give Jacksonville credit for winning that game because they did what they had to do and they took advantage of our stupidity.
We want your reaction to it. Morning after, it's raw. The emotions, the feelings are still there. Tell us what you're feeling, what you're thinking about the game. Looking ahead, all that. RamosLive.com text line 303-713-1043. Up next, who has to wear the goat horns after this one? That's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Lots of reaction pouring into the game last night. We'll get to some of these here in a minute. Who wears the goat horns?
Yeah, I got to go. I got to go. Point of order on you.
Point of order. Okay.
And I might have to retroactively.
Mister, the Avs will win 5-2. You're going to point out point of order to me.
Oh, Mister, I picked them in six, and then I unpicked them, I picked them to win in five. Mister Flippity Flop.
Not flippity flop.
You're like a salmon that I just beached.
Not at all.
You're flippy flopping all around.
Not at all.
Here I am trying to, again, be the bigger person. And here I am out there, putting myself out there to award. And I've never done this before, ever. And I thought a lot. I lost sleep over this last night, Mike. I lost sleep. Once the Avs choked it away in overtime. Lord have mercy. You want to talk about soft. That goal was softer than whale poop.
Last two were.
So after they choked it away, I lost sleep. How did you lose sleep, you ask? Why did you lose sleep, you ask?
These are the things we're all thinking.
Yes. I mean, because I realized last night that even though I hit the under on Tell Me Why I'm Wrong, I have to retroactively go back and give one of our listeners a point.
Which one?
They'll win in spite
of Darcy Kemper.
Right.
Right.
Last night was that game that he gave away with, honestly, two soft goals.
Okay. You're right.
Two soft goals.
Dexter, you aren't wrong. I don't know who the heck you are, but yeah.
Yeah. In spite. And I had a great loophole argument, and I had to lay there in bed and stew in my own loophole. I stewed in it.
Nothing wrong. Nothing worse than stewing in your own loophole.
I stewed in a loop.
That's a loop. You're not alone. Here's some of the texts. Kemper still letting in softies this morning. Time to revisit the Darcy Kemper debate. That was a soft goal that ended the game last night.
It was. Dude, that wasn't a deflection. I don't know if he just got distracted with, somebody setting a screen in front, but he had a clear pathway to see that shot off the stick, and that thing never moved.
Well, in the studio show yesterday was Henrik Lundqvist, the former Rangers goalie.
Right.
King Henry.
Yeah.
Good-looking dude.
Oh, yeah.
And he had that cream-colored suit on. Hey, Bedsy, take note of that one.
Like, you want me to go cream?
Like to see you behind the bench in one of those suits.
Love what Bednar was wearing.
But anyway,
last night.
But he said, and there he is, goalie on goalie, right? So this is an expert. He said probably should have made the save on that last one. And when a fellow goaltender in that situation says you probably should have made the stop on that one, that's code for that's a bad goal.
That's
a bad goal that a goaltender at that level in overtime has to make the save. And I'd say the one that was that tied the game up with less than a minute left was a bad goal that he boxed and botched and knocked around too and left a juicy rebound right on the doorstep.
Come on, man.
Yeah, at the very least. That overtime goal was soft.
Avs don't have the goaltender to win a cup. Brutal loss, lack of killer instinct, and a soft goal given up when we needed a save. Two things championship teams usually have is killer instinct and a goalie who's locked in. Not good. Kudzay from Fort Collins. Oof.
Mike.
It's Elway's fault. Elway was at the game. Sitting,
right behind
my heart.
Sitting glass side, right down there.
Right down there. Like I thought maybe he was in control of light and lamp. He was the lamp lighter. Does that get done from upstairs or where's that?
No, there's somebody that sits right behind the cage.
And lights the lamp?
And lights the lamp.
Maybe it was Elway.
Good morning, fellas. If Landeskog makes an empty netter, it's obviously game over. Yeah, I thought about that afterwards, and Rick Tocchet on the postgame show, as they were going to a break, he said, I wish Landeskog had shot it. So what he did was, when the net was empty, the Avalanche had taken a shot towards the empty net, missed it, so it was icing.
Mm-hmm.
Come back the other way. Face off, you got to keep all your guys out on the ice.
Right.
You can't change when there's an icing. So the next time he's got the puck, and in order to avoid icing, you got to get it over the red line,
right,
center line. And he chose to try to carry it over the red line before taking a shot. St. Louis converged on him and knocked it away. The idea was, hey, maybe you would have been behind the red line, but you might have had more opening, more room to go for the goal. And if you'd gone for the goal and got it, game over.
So you're doing that with the conscious like the conscious decision to get it over the red line so it's not icing.
Yeah.
And then take your shot because even if you miss.
It won't be icing.
Right. It won't be icing. Right. And then we can get to a change.
Right. So in this case, he did get it over. It wasn't icing. Puck was turned over and they didn't score. So it's just, he did the smart thing, but should he have, if he had the shot, should he have taken it? Ice, I got the shot.
Right.
Get out of the way.
Right. It basically goes to the whole, but it goes to the second, third period as well. If you really think about it, it goes to the mental mind shift from that was a great white on a seal in the first period. There was blood all over the ice. I mean, blood all over the ice. And then you know what you went into? You went into stealth mode. I'm just going to swim along the bottom of the ocean and not do anything for a while. You went into, hey, we've won it. Let's just not lose it. And in doing that, in playing that passive style, I mean,
but can I ask you, though, and you know, I love asking these questions about the psychology, right? The psychology mm-hmm. of the athlete in those moments. You know you took everything St. Louis had to give in game four. That was an unbelievably emotional, draining game for St. Louis that they put so much into, and you beat them.
Yes.
Then you come home. And you're up 3-0 relatively easy. Isn't it understandable that you would think it's over?
Absolutely, Mike. But okay, this would be my James Merrillat pointing the finger at Bednar. When you start to sense that style of let's play on our heels and let's just not lose now, we've won this thing. Then you need to put the kibosh to that. You need to say, boys, this is not how we got to this point. And I get that it's human nature. I understand that. But to be a championship level team, you've got to put human nature at the doorstep and leave it there. You can't carry it into the house with you. And they carried it into the house. They allowed that to happen. How many times in this whole series, by the way, how many times have you ever seen St. Louis just easily skate through neutral ice until the second and third period of this particular game? They haven't. They have been. I mean, those dudes have been on them. The Avalanche have been on them like white on rice in the neutral zone. They have not had one easy. Nothing is easy. Everything had to be earned. And I saw them skate through the neutral zone unencumbered dozens of times last night. Dozens of times.
And, of course, with their comeback.
Yeah, in the course of their comeback, where it just tells me that you were playing a style of, whew, exhale,
mm-hmm.
Oh, we won it. No, you didn't. You didn't.
Painful lesson. We'll see if they can bounce back and win a third straight game in St. Louis. We'll get into that. And could the Bronco-Raider rivalry get even juicier? That's next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Well, I think you have to stay aggressive. You got to continue to play your game and believe in what you're doing. And like I said, for the most part, we've been doing that. But like it's starting to look like you're either the hammer or the nail in the series, you know. And so we have to go and be the hammer. Like we have to keep moving forward and pressing and you know, forcing them into mistakes.
So the Avalanche blow a 3-0 lead, blow a 4-3 lead late, give up an empty net goal with less than a minute left, and then lose in overtime. Still lead the series 3-2 going back to St. Louis. You said, hey, Jared Bednar needed to do a better job of keeping this team focused when they were up 3-0. Come on, don't you think he was saying those things on the bench? Come on, guys, don't let up. You know, sure. It's not over yet. This team's not. Don't you think he was saying those things? So what?
I'm sure.
What could he have done differently? You know,
that if he sensed a little bit of a let, do you change lines? Do you call a timeout? Break a stick over the boards? What?
At some point, you got to. And I don't know. I don't know what he did. Maybe he read him the riot act between periods. I don't know. But at some point, you got to do something. I'm sure that he was saying that. Like, I mean, listen, in hindsight, listen to that sound. You're either the hammer or the nail. In this series, you got to keep the pressure on. They let the pressure off. And you know what? They played on their heels. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, gosh. Now, I tell you what, the response of Nathan MacKinnon on that goal when they went 3-3, that was the most ridiculous. I mean, the most ridiculous goal maybe that I've seen. Well, certainly in this year's playoffs.
Considering it was in the playoffs, he literally skated from one end to the other, and he skated through and around four of the five Blues that was on the ice. And that's
inconceivable.
And that move at that angle, backhand to forehand, and then
while left, being leaned on and defended. How he got it back to the forehand and got it over the top of, what's the guy's name, Husso?
Incredible call.
You know it.
And that's why when that happened, I'm like, okay, disaster averted.
Right.
They're fine.
I thought so, too.
The building was going bonkers. And I thought, it's over. But St. Louis would not go away, and the Avalanche just couldn't clear the puck.
You know what they call Husso in California? Jusso.
Next on the Morning Brew.
It's the same as if you win a game. You enjoy it for 3 minutes and you move on. And here it's the same thing. You sold for 3 minutes and you move on. That's as simple as that. It's playoff hockey. It's not supposed to be easy.
Well, Nathan MacKinnon was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was.
With the three goals. And if there's a silver lining, I guess.
Okay.
If there's a silver lining, what did we talk about yesterday? That, hey, not only do we want the Avs to get the win, but are there a couple other boxes you'd like to see them check off? And one thing that I said was, I'd like to see Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, and Mikko Rantanen get going.
Mm-hmm.
Still waiting for Makar and Rantanen to get their first goals. And no, I'm not counting Rantanen's empty netter. But MacKinnon, that's...
Yeah,
that's even in a gut punch loss, that was a real good silver lining to take from it.
MacKinnon was phenomenal. Now we get... Remember when Mikko Rantanen was... Or not Mikko Rantanen, but Makar was...
The best player in the hockey?
Yeah.
You know, he was better than Bobby Orr?
Yeah.
Remember that?
It's been 84 years.
Yeah, well, not quite that long, but it's been a while.
It feels like it.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Sawinski out to right. This one is deep. And Jack ties it. Three-run home run for Jack Sawinski. Out to right and deep. And Van Meter hits it out of here. Three-run home run for Josh Van Meter.
Pirates TV. I don't know. Do people even want Rocky updates? I threw it in here just figuring, I don't know, dude.
Can we just get the song, Josh?
Give me a quick
darkness, my old friend.
Quick gauge on the text line. Does anybody really want baseball updates?
Lose 3 of 4 to the worst team in baseball?
Because
not 3 of 4, but 2 of 3.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes, 2 of 3. They lost the series.
They lost the series.
The worst team in baseball.
Yeah. It was the lowest scoring team in baseball. You just gave up 10. By the way, the dude that the dude that started for the Rockies.
Oh, yeah. Who was that guy?
Some dude named Feltner. He was the guy that they called up when Iron Man, Rifkin-esque, Chris Bryant, went on the DL again.
Oh, now that's a great nickname.
Should we start calling?
My back.
Yeah, we'll start calling.
You know what?
Iron Man or the Iron Horse? What do you want to call it?
No, Iron Horse is always going to go to Gary.
Yeah, he's the Iron Man. Chris Bryant, the Iron Man.
So any what do you call that? like any
derivation?
Derivation. That's the word I was looking. Thank you, Mike. I knew I could count on you. Any derivation of Iron Man. So you could call him Robert Downey. You can call
Call him Tony Stark. I don't care.
Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can call him Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Let's just call him from this point forward Tony Stark. Can we decree that?
I like that.
Can we make a decree?
Hey,
Chris Bryant is forevermore.
Let's get the Philadelphia City Council to convene and make that so. Okay?
Yes. Can we from this point forward on this show, Chris Bryant is now become Tony Stark.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I know I have to find my way back in.
Okay.
So, yeah, if I have to come in as a backup, that's fine. But that's not where I'm staying.
Colin Kaepernick on the I Am Athlete podcast. Kaepernick worked out with the Raiders. No word on how the workout went, just that he worked out. His first NFL workout since 2017. Look, for a long time throughout this, I've steadfastly felt, come on, Colin Kaepernick, when I look especially at all the dreck that's out there among backup quarterbacks, you can't tell me he doesn't deserve a spot in the league. But that was a while. He hasn't played since 2017.
5 years.
5 years, dude, at some point. So what do you think? Dude was a pretty good quarterback. Hey, remember, everybody, let's not gloss over this. If he had been willing to take a pay cut, he'd have been a Denver Bronco.
All right, after 5 years, now, you know, like the last time he played, I think he got beat out by Blaine Gabbert. So, I mean, let's pump the brakes on him. Like I saw an article yesterday. He'd already be better than four starters or five starters in the league. Let's slow down on that.
Yeah, I got to see him. I'd have to see him play.
He hasn't played in 5 years.
Let's see him play first before we start making judgment like that.
Like when he was a starter in a more traditional sense, the last time he played, he was awful. I mean, he wasn't. Awful is probably too strong a word. He wasn't great. So, but do I think he deserves an opportunity to be a backup quarterback right now and see what if he could blossom? Absolutely.
Well, he's got
to
beat out Nick Mullins and Jarrett Stidham, currently Derek Carr's backups. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Giving you a chance to react, a lot of reaction. We'll get to a lot of it coming up here to what happened last night. How did it happen? Why did it happen? Who wears the goat horns? But despite the gut punch level of loss, I've got a really good silver lining for you that's going to make everybody feel better.
Really?
Yep. And it's coming up next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Okay, I get it. A lot of people are down after what happened last night.
Yeah. But you've got a ray of hope. Some little bit of sunshine, just like what's going out there on the east right now. Like, I'm talking about rising on the east, the sun over there. Mr. Sun. Sun. Mr. Golden Sun, please shine down on me.
Ah, so beautiful this
morning. It really is.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Great. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful morning. Here's the silver lining.
Okay.
The last time the Avalanche won the Cup.
Oh, gosh. Now you're going back to how does that, when? How far back is that? That's 2000?
It's been 84 years.
No, it's not been 84 years, lady. It's been 20 years.
Oof. Hey. You're tiptoeing on very, very dangerous ground. Okay, but go ahead.
You lots not. So, in that run.
Okay.
And that was a team that had just, well, you know the names, right? Just stars and all-stars and future Hall of Famers all over the place. That team.
Soderberg.
No, he was not on the team. That was a good one, Fever. That was good. That year, they won their first round series in five. And then the second round against the Kings, up 3-1, lost game five at home, and ended up having to win the series in seven. Then they won the Western Conference Finals easily and then went on to win the Cup. So, the last team to win a Cup, the last
Mission 16W team?
Mm-hmm.
Did in the second round exactly what the Avalanche did last night. How about that for a silver lining?
So that's what
I'm hanging it on, baby.
That is a pretty flimsy branch that you're walking out there on.
Hey, man. Just spreading rays of sunshine.
Okay, well, here's what I would tell you.
You tell me what the silver lining is then.
No, I'm not telling you what. I'm just gonna debunk your theory for a minute.
Yeah.
Let's just go by the overall yarbles of that team compared to the yarbles of this team.
Yeah, that team had
team had newts.
Yeah. They had clackers.
Oh my god. But multiple guys with you're talking about Blake, you're talking about Bork, you're talking about Footer, you're talking about Sakic, about Wah.
Yep.
About Forsberg.
Yep.
I got you.
I know.
It's like comparing. What would it be like comparing? I know the old saying is apples and oranges, but I'm saying. One of these things is not like the other, right? I mean, those you're talking
actually swept Vancouver that year. Okay, so it's gone exactly right now. This team is on pace to go exactly. They are following the exact same path that team followed when they won the Cup. Avalanche swept Nashville.
Let me ask you this:
that team swept Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Avalanche beat the Kings in seven, could be heading to a game seven against St. Louis. But where is your level of confidence that they shake this off and come out and win tomorrow night?
My level of there's part of me that thinks maybe I do have the power. Maybe I should just pick against them just to motivate them. Like there's part of me, but I know that I have no power. I know that in reality, but then I think maybe I do. Like maybe I'm the one. Maybe all these blowout wins I'm predicting is causing them to get a little bit of complacency. So maybe I should pick up. But my level of confidence is high because they're a better club. They're a better organization.
So when DJ texts in and says, "I'll ask again since you didn't answer yesterday. Blues win tonight and Friday. Tell me why I'm wrong."
Because the Avs are better.
Let me see if he sent this yesterday.
The Avs are a better team. I will say.
Now, he did say this. I'm going back looking at it. So he said that yesterday.
I will say this, Mike. The biggest difference you left out in your silver cloud or your silver lining for the cloud.
Yeah, clouds aren't silver. Well, the clouds can be silver.
Right.
Silvery.
I tend to look at things with more like every cloud has a feces lining.
Yeah, you are more on the what could go wrong.
Pouring down poop paddles on poop drops on you. They had Wah.
Yeah.
There was never any question between the pipes.
Yeah, I know.
Intensity and everything else.
Look, I know. I'm reaching a bit. Just trying to be a little positive after last night sucked, man. That
dude, how good did you feel in the second period when they went? Well, after the first period when they're up 2-0 and it was. I remember the old like the Tasmanian Devil type of. I mean, it was. I know that's old. I apologize. Sonic the Hedgehog. Boom. Like how fast Sonic was.
Boom. Boom.
But anyhow, you know what I'm like.
Or Shakira's hips.
Oh.
How fast are those?
Those are pretty quick. But that was a buzzsaw, man.
I'm a sucker for that sound.
This is just a buzzsaw.
Well, yes, I was. When they were up 3-0, it felt
over.
It felt over. And it felt over when MacKinnon scored. It really did. That goal, hockey is a sport where, you know, if a basketball player, if a great basketball player just wants to take over on command, give me the ball, I'm going to go make a play. I'm going to go win the game, whatever.
Right.
They can do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hockey, it's difficult to do that.
Right.
The nature of the game. Yet on that play, that was Nathan MacKinnon was Michael Jordan. Nathan MacKinnon was Kobe Bryant. Nathan MacKinnon just said at that moment, I'm going to go make the play.
Yeah.
And he picked up the puck in his zone, and he skated and weaved through the entire team and then scored. And the way he scored, at that moment, I thought, it's over. That was the second time I thought, right, it's over. You score a goal like that, a transcendent goal, right, like
what
that.
What was it left in there? 4 minutes left in the game or something like that?
Yeah, and the bench is going crazy. The crowd's going crazy. St. Louis players were hanging their head. You had that feeling of how many times you see in sports, you know, a team invests so much energy to climb back.
Right. That happens all the time in the NBA. You tighten the score up late in the fourth, and then all of a sudden you look up and you're down by 12 again.
Or you pull even, but you can't get over the hump, right? Because you expend so much energy. And at that moment, I thought, oh, they're not going to recover from that either.
Right.
That's just too momentous.
Yeah.
But they did. Credit to them. Credit to them. Okay. A lot of reaction. We'll continue to get it. And we'll dive back into what everyone's going to be talking about today. What happened? How did they let a game that they had in such firm control slip away? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.